He is my inheritance. And believe it or not, I'm His. Wow. Boy, did I get a deal, right? I got Christ and eternal life in Him, and He got me. That's a deal that, I mean, if that don't get you to shout and get excited, I don't know what to tell you. Because I know you guys are a whole lot better than me, because I esteem others more important than me, but I see what I was. And I'm sitting here, why would He spill that precious blood for a guy like me? And I don't know if He'll even explain that to me when I get there, because it won't matter. I'll be with Him and He'll be with me and it'll be all okay. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. And you're going to say, man, didn't he preach the same kind of message last week? And I don't know. Maybe the Lord's leading me somewhere. I don't know. But in Matthew chapter 7, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under feet and turn again and rend you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you who, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which shall go in there. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by the fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it is founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sands, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So if you caught that, you read this verse here, this chapter here, this was Jesus speaking. He's still speaking. This is Jesus right here, still speaking, not me. And he says, he taught them as having authority. So we look at this thing, judge not, that you be not judged. Now in the church there is judgment that we must do. We must look, if somebody brings in sin and deliberately sets it on the table in front of us, if we go out and hug his neck and hug on him and tell him how great a boy he is or whatever, then we've done missed the point. If I come in and drag in three or four extra wives, and you say, well, that's Brother Charlie's new wives, he's a good preacher though, then you miss the point. We have judgments that must be made and taken care of. I have one wife that I know is going to really be into that judgment thing. She'll say, them three got to go, or however how many. So if you don't, she will. So you got that straight. But I'm saying, when we judge, there's judgment in civil business. If I go rob a bank and I go into the courtroom and they prove that I'm guilty, then the law legally will judge me according to what the law says I should do. Then in the church we have things that we judge according to sin and what sin does against the church. But then in our ordinary lives, I need to judge. Do I look at one of you or somebody else and say, man, that guy just ain't up to my standard of spirituality. Or he's not up to my standard of doing this or whatever. And I'm saying, I don't know why they're not, or this, that, and the other. And I have to be careful, because when I'm judging them, somebody else may be judging me, or I'm going to get under. When I judge them for their thing, I got to remember I have a judge who is in heaven. So if I'm sitting here saying, why ain't this person got to this place or that place, God could be up there going, well, Charlie, when you going to get to that place or this place? Because if you remember reading Romans, those people were excusing and going along. These people were bringing all kind of crazy sins, and the reason they were excusing them is because if I excuse their sins, then they won't point their finger at me about my sins. Well, I'm not saying we excuse sin, but I'm saying is we need to watch how we judge. We need to watch how we treat people. We need to watch how we come across the people, because, like I said, that we've fulfilled the prophets and the law in a few verses down, because if I love you and I treat you right because I expect you to love me and treat me right, if I am judging you and condemning you and beating you down and talking about you and backbiting about you and everything else, then I am doing the same thing I'm telling you not to do. And I need to be looking. If I'm trying to say, look, you got this little problem, first of all, I need to make sure I don't have a little problem. It says here, let's keep on going, for with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. So if I'm judging you, or if you're judging someone, I need to be really understanding that whatever I'm throwing at you, or talking about you, or condemning you with, I have a judge also who's keeping score. Who also, you remember the guy who got forgiven of much, and then he went out and tried to choke a guy who hurt him a little, and then he was cast into jail till he could pay it all? Same thing with us. If we're judging, if we're trying to lay some burden on somebody, we need to make sure that we're not beating them up with the same thing we're doing ourselves. We need to make sure, before I come to you and tell you how you need to stop this problem you got, I need to make sure I don't have the same problem. Or I'm not in the same sins or things like that. Because every one of us has sin. Every one of us have issues. But if I ever get to the place where I think I'm so super spiritual that I could look down on y'all and rain down on y'all and say, here's where y'all need to be conformed to, then I better say, have I conformed there yet? Am I totally clean? Am I totally okay? And it's the same with you when you judge others. Am I clean? Am I okay? Have I got all my business straight before I point a finger at the... Well, she just backbites all the time. Well, am I backbiting too? Or they just talk about people, or they just do this or that. Am I doing this or that too? And if I have any of this or that, then I need to clear up my innies before I talk about their lots. Because they just got a little problem. I got a big problem. That says, and why beholdest thou the mote? But we're good at looking at what our brother's got problems with. Oh man, they're just so this or that or whatever. And we don't realize that when we're looking at their little old issue, we got this big old beam pole sticking out of our eye. And it's hindering what we see because we haven't took care of it. It's been there so long that we don't even know it's there no more. We're looking out here with this big old pole sticking out of your eyes, you know, like a pole. And they got a little old speck. I mean, and with the one good eye you got left, you man, that speck's just wearing them out. And they're probably saying, boy, if they just get off of me and start looking at what they got. They got this beam stuck out here. Every time I turn in their eye, they're knocking four or five people down. Yeah. Says here, beholdest the mote that's in thine eye, but considerest not that beam that's in my own eye. Before I can even think about talking about your sins, I need to be alone with God repenting of my sins. I need to be alone with God saying, Lord, how can I get better? How can I get to where I'm supposed to be? How can I do the things I do? You see, we can easily look at everybody else's problems and say it's all their fault. But the first person whose problem we need to look at is me or us. It says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and beholdest there's a beam in my own. In other words, I can't even get close enough to get that speck out because I got a little big old beam block keeping me from getting even close to you. He says, how can I do that? How can I get close? He says, thou hypocrite. Ooh. Was he talking to me there? Yeah. Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In other words, I need to do self-examination. Paul says, I need to try myself or look, check myself to make sure I'm in the faith in a couple of places. He says one time, I don't act like I've attained, but I keep pressing toward the mark. First of all, I need to be pressing toward the mark, and pressing toward the mark, I need to say, Lord, wash me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, straighten me out. Lord, help me to walk as Christ walked. Don't help me to be super religious or super righteous that I look down on everybody else and say, boy, if they could just get to where I am. Lord, I want you to know I ain't there yet. And if I ever get there, y'all straighten me out. But it says here, how can I take the little mote out of your eye? How can I pick on you about this little thing you're doing when I've got a load of sins and stuff back here that I need to get straight? I got a load of stuff back here I need to get repented of. I got a load of stuff back here I need to fix. And these don't have to be gross sins. They're just sins in general. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, first of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ is precious. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what we're supposed to preach and teach. And we're supposed to live as Christ walks in this world. We're supposed to be a picture of Christ walking. But we're not supposed to just grab, say, well, there's the most wickedest, ungodly man I can see. He cusses God all day long. He fights against God's stuff all day long. That's the man I'm going to win to Jesus. Because right here it says, if I try to go up against that guy, everything about him is against God. Everything about him is fights against the scripture of God, Christ, the holiness of God. He's totally ungodly whatsoever. Now, I live in front of him godly. But if I go to him every day with a verse of scripture and tell him how I'm going to straighten him out and what he needs to do and all this stuff, he's going to throw that back at me. He's going to use that, and he might even get angry and hurt me or try to ruin me, because every time I try to do that to him, he's going to find out something to give me back to make my life miserable. Now, am I saying don't witness? No. But I'm saying if whoever you're talking to is not receptive to what's going on, you're not going to beat it into them. You're not going to change them unless God himself changes them. He says, don't throw that thing to dogs. Don't throw that to the ones who are so, whose mouths are so foul and cussed. Now, I ain't saying don't present the gospel to them, but what I am saying is don't make them your personal hobby that I'm going to get this guy saved. Give them the gospel. Give them the truth of God's word. And if they turn and say, give me some more, be ready. If they don't, go to the next guy. Don't spend all your life trying to say, I'm going to make sure that this one person does this. They'll tear you up. He says, they'll even rend you. He says, and don't throw your pearls before swine. Swine in the Bible never quit being swine. They will never quit. In fact, a swine will run you over, stomp you down, and even kill you and eat you. A swine is not as a cushy little thing out there. So look at all them pigs out there, so sweet. Pigs are a dangerous little animal. You get one mad at you, you'll find out. Then it says, ask. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Wait a minute. We need to ask according to his will. We need to ask according to what he would want us to do. And I'm sitting here, if I were lost, if I knew I were lost, if I knew I haven't believed on Lord Jesus Christ, my main thing that I would be asking God is, oh God, save me. Oh God, do something for me. Oh God, change my heart. Oh God, change my attitude. I know what God, in the mind, I know that those people who don't believe in you go to hell. I didn't butter that over. That's the truth. The ones who do not believe in Jesus Christ end up in hell. They will burn in a flaming fire forever and ever and ever. So if I knew that I needed help there, if I knew that I hadn't quite been born again, and you're not going to born yourself again, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but if I knew that I was still lost, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. I'd ask you, are you seeking it? Are you looking for it? Are you asking for it? Are you content where you're at? Now, in my mind, I already know the answer, but I'm not going to bring that out. But I'm saying here, physically, there's nothing to keep you from seeking. There's nothing in the world that keeps any person from seeking after God except themselves. Themselves. There's no physical barrier that keeps you from saying, oh God, help me to understand. Oh God, help me to learn. Oh God, I want to know more. Oh God, show me the truth. No physical barrier to stop that. He says, ask. And have given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open to you. And I'm sitting here, are you knocking? Are you seeking? Are you looking? And that goes for us too. If we're wanting stuff, am I seeking God's guidance? Am I seeking God's perfect will in what I'm looking for? You know, I might need it. We hear people all the time say, well, my organization needs a car or a truck or whatever. Now, I want it to be big, and I want it to be fast, and I want to be able to carry all this. And God says, well, you don't need all that. Really, a Volkswagen would do what you need to go do what you're doing. So, when we ask, We need to understand that we ask according to His will. You may not need a brand new vehicle. He may give you a good used vehicle. It's what you needed. May not have been what you asked for, but truly what you needed was a vehicle. Years of newness did not really come into the need there. He says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And I'm sitting there, man, I don't know if I ever got every single thing I asked for. So I'm sitting here, let me read that a little bit more. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Everyone. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Did I come to him like that widow woman, to that king, and say, I need some help from my enemies. I need some protection from my enemies. Every day she was in front of the king saying, I need. Or did I say, oh Lord, I really would love to have a truck. I made my petition. He heard it. Just like when you got married, I told her I loved her once. You need to tell your lover more than once. Just like if you want something from God, you bring it to Him over and over. Yes, He heard it the first time. Yes, He heard it the second time. But you see, He has a right time to give it. His time. So we bring these things over and over and over. Well, I prayed that He'd save my son. Or I prayed that He'd save my daughter. He knows what I prayed. Man, if you really wanted your son or daughter, you'd be every time you pray. Every time you pray, you'd bring, Lord, remember, if it's your will, I really would love my son to get saved. I really would love my daughter to get saved. I really would love to see something happen in their life. Way more than any physical stuff. First of all, I have lost children. First thing, I want them saved. I want them saved. Then if you give them some prosperity or whatever, that's great. But if they get all kind of prosperity and they never get saved, what was it profitable to them? I want them saved. I want my great-grandbaby saved. I want to see every child in here saved. I don't just say one time, oh Lord, you know they need to be saved. That's why we preach, and that's why we teach, and that's why we do these things, to show them that I really believe what I believe in Christ. My faith is not a fake faith. My faith is not something that I'm trying to work up every day to give away. I truly believe that Christ died for me. I truly believe that He paid every debt of sin that I ever owed. I truly believe that He paid for it, and He took that blood and He put it on the mercy seat of God, and God sees me through Christ. And if He didn't, I'm still lost. I'm hopeless and without help. Or what man of you is there whom if his son asks bread will give him a stone? And I thought about how rough I was on my kids, and I'm sitting here, but if they'd have come to me for food, I would have given them food. I would have set them at the table. I'd have fed them. Even a wicked man in humanity would feed his family, take care of his children, stuff like that. He says, would give him a stone, or if he asked a fish, would you give him a serpent? Now, I understand you could eat a serpent, probably eat the better part of food, but the thing is, if they're asking for fish, this is food, this is bodily substance. Even wicked men, ungodly men, take care of their children by feeding them and clothing them and taking care of things. He says, if then ye being evil, and that hit me like a rock, I says, wait a minute. I'm not a... Christ didn't say, well, I just need some of you guys. No. If then ye, every single person that was in His hearing right there, was evil. There wasn't a good one. No, not one. There wasn't a sinless one. No, not one. There wasn't a single person who didn't need salvation. No, not one. If then ye being evil... know how to give good gifts to your children. Even evil people love their children. unless they're a monster or something like that. And I'm not, you can say, well, what if? What? You can do that. We've heard that already this morning. The thing is, in the most part, lost men, evil men, unsaved men, ungodly men, love their children. Want their children to have stuff. Want their children to have things. If then ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Them who come to him in faith. Them that come to him understanding he is the giver of all good gifts. Now if you want a box of marijuana, he's probably not going to say, well, he really could use a box of marijuana. Or if you want a box of pornography, he's probably not going to answer that request either. But if you ask things according to his will, he knows how to give good gifts. He knows how to give right gifts. He says, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven, more than that wicked father you got, more than that father, earthly father you got, how much more can he give good gifts to those who ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even to them. You know, I would love to be treated right. I would love to be treated with respect. I'd love to be thought of as a really nice guy. So, if that's the thought that I would like to be treated like, then Jesus says that I must treat other people with respect. I must treat other people like they're nice guys. I must treat other people the way I want to be treated. So when I look at that, I'm sitting there, do I do that? And I probably on a lot of occasions I could say, nope. I should not have treated that person that way. I was short with them. I didn't listen to them. I didn't pay attention to them. They came to me with a request and I just blew them off, shook them off. But if I want to be treated well, when I come to someone and say, look, I got this going on, or I need this, or this is happening, then I must also be willing to listen the same way. Jesus says, if I want somebody to treat me a certain way, then I have to in turn treat other folks the same way. I need to do an analysis on myself. Do I treat people the way I want to be treated? Do I talk to them in the manner I want to be talked at? Am I hollering at them? Or am I putting them down? Or am I condescending to them? And if those are the things I'm doing and I'm getting that same feedback, why is people always talking to me like that? Hello? How am I talking to them? I guess we're going to have a conversation on the way home after a while. So anyways, but if I'm being mean and ugly and arrogant to you, then and you're shooting that same vibe back at me, and I'm sitting here, why are they talking to me like that? I better look and see, how am I talking to them? How am I treating them? If I want to be loved and I'm showing anger and hate all the time and I'm getting that hate and anger resentment back, then I don't need to ask why. I ought to look at myself and say, here's the problem. If you talk rough to someone, they're going to talk rough back. If you use bad language, eventually they'll use bad language back, because they're going to dish it back to you just the way you're dishing it. It says that when we do this thing, treat people the way we'd like to be treated, which would mean love your brother as yourself, would that not be it? Which is all the law and the prophets. It always comes back to the law and the prophets. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If I'm loving my neighbor as myself, do I want to be hollered at? No. Do I want to be cussed at? No. Do I want to be fussed at or treated bad? No. So if I don't want that, then I'm going to say, then I don't need to do my neighbor the same way. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. It's easy to get caught up in that worldwide that, well, everybody's doing it. Everybody's going there. It's all okay. But Jesus says, enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, and where does it lead? That leadeth to destruction. If you go the way of the world, well, everybody's doing it, it's all okay, it's all right if we talk bad to each other, it's all right if we treat people bad, it's all right if we do all these things, because everybody else is doing it. You just turn on the TV and see how angry everybody is nowadays. Even a guy at office the other day said, can you see that everybody here is angry? And I said, yes, brother, I can see everybody's here angry, but I know why. I've read the book. I know what the book says. Men will be lovers of themselves. They'll love pleasures more than they love God. Everybody's angry because they're trying to please themselves. It says here, enter in at the straight gate. Well, wait a minute. Have you ever tried to go through a real tight spot? A straight gate? And you say, well, I'm broad here and I've got a little belly, I'm a little fat, and I'm trying to... Well, you've got to suck it up and squeeze in. Entering into the straight gate ain't just a... That camel that went through the eye of the needle had to get on his knees to go through that little bitty needle gate. I know people think it's a real needle, but at that time there was a gate called the needle gate, which is a little bitty small door in the beside the big door. For a camel to go through that little eye of the needle, he had to get down and scrunch up if he could. And I'm saying the entering the straight gate means... We have to try. We have to work. We don't save ourselves, but to stay Christ-like, we have to work at it, to do the things. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in there at. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way. We may have to throw off some of this baggage that we're toting around, some of these sins that so easily beset us, some of these things that carry us around, so that we can go through that straight gate. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. We have to throw off a lot of these worldly things that in our lost sense, we say, man, this is all fun. All this stuff is great. All this stuff is pleasurable. But in our new life, we understand those things lead to death. Those are the things that Christ died for. Those are the things that was bringing us down. If it wasn't for those things, we'd have been all right. But it says here, you know, in the straight gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few. This thing that everybody's going to go to heaven when they die. Everybody's going to be all right. It says, few there be that find it. That doesn't mean that we find salvation, but there's few that God has called out. There's few that God has done this. And then he says, beware. And we studied this in Sunday school. Imagine that, how that all worked out. Beware of false prophets. If somebody's telling you, if you just come in here, be good, live a good life, do the right thing without Christ, and you'll still get to heaven, he lied to you. If you think that you're going to be okay because you're sweet and kind and gentle and you always do the right thing and you've never done much very bad, and God's going to look at you one day and say, oh, that person was just so lovely. But I want you to understand that outside of Christ, all that lovely you thought you did is filthy rags. Anything that we do outside of Christ, I don't care how good it was, is an abomination to Jesus Christ. It's sin. You say, brother, you're talking about, you mean I'm a good person? Yeah, I know it. I'm glad you're a good person. Don't quit being a good person. But don't trust in being a good person. If you're trusting in how good you are, that Jesus Christ is going to take care of you, you're missing the boat. He says, beware of false prophets. If that teacher's telling you, all you got to do is make sure you bring your tithes and be sweet, shake the hand of the preacher and act religious every now and then, and God's going to bless you, he's a false prophet. And he lied to you. Don't be deceived. We studied that in Sunday school by these folks. Says here, which come to you in sheep's clothing. He's going to look sweet. He's going to sound like the right thing. He's going to look like the right thing. But there's going to be some lie in what he's got to say. You see, if somebody's telling you the truth all the time, somewhere along the line it's going to hurt you. Somewhere along the line you're going to get pricked in your heart. Somebody's going to point out to you what you are. It's going to prick you in your heart that God might save you. But if somebody's telling you, oh, you're okay, you just keep doing the same thing, one day we're all going to be in heaven, it's going to be all right, he lied to you. He lied to you. He says, you shall know them by their fruit. You remember old Jim Jones? Took all them people to Guyana. Sweet Jim Jones, who tried to get them all to drink the Kool-Aid, and about a half a dozen of them or more died from drinking the Kool-Aid. He had all those people in this cult thinking they were all okay, and Jim Jones was like Jesus Christ. And then we had this David Koresh fella over there in Waco. I don't know what all David did, but I know he had like four or five wives, and if you watch these shows, they always got more wives, and you need to be my wife if you join this thing. And these guys, they're false teachers. They twist up the scripture. There's no truth in them, because what little bit of truth they had, they mixed it with a lie. Now, if you took a glass of pure, clean water, you got a glass of pure, clean water? You see it right there? This is the purest water there is. It's good. But if I took one drop out of that septic tank, and I said, would you drink that pure, clean water now? There's a lot of good water in there. I mean, there's a lot of it. But most people are not going to drink that glass of water if they knew there was one drop of septic tank water in there, even if they were dying. We need to be careful for false prophets. Just one drop of lie changes the truth. It is no longer pure, clear water. It's a big old glass of it there now, but it ain't pure, and it ain't clean, because it had one drop of poison in it. Beware of those guys. It says, you shall know them by their fruit. Thing is, you need to know them by their fruit before they carry you off to Guyana and poison you. You need to know them by their fruit before they take you out and put you in a compound out in the middle of the desert somewhere. You need to know enough about the truth that when you see these guys, they don't fool you. He says, do men gather grapes of thorns? Or figs of thistles? And we know that if I want to go get a peach off a peach tree, I don't go to an apple tree. And if you want a peach, you don't go to a briar bush. And that's the same thing with looking for good fruit. If somebody's cussing, fussing, lying, stealing, and cheating all the time, and you go to them for good fruit advice, you're not going to get it. I listen to people all day long. Well, my God don't do this, and my God don't do that. Well, I'm not going to go ask them for any spiritual advice, because I already know that their God don't exist. I'm going to go to the one who really has a God. They have a God too, but I'm a real God. The God. I'm going to get my fruit and get advice. If I want to make me an apple pie, I'll go to the apple tree. If I want to get something spiritual, I'm going to go to the guy who knows something spiritual. I'm going to hunt somebody who really believes in Jesus. I'm not going to go to the guy that goes to church twice a year and say, give me your theology on Christ. He has none. He just thinks he goes to church twice a year, he's good to go. God owed it to me anyways, you know. If I want to know something about theology or something, I'm going to go to a guy who goes to church all the time. I'm going to go to a guy who reads his Bible all the time. I'm going to find somebody who knows more than I do, not somebody who goes less than I do. I'm going to go to the fruit and get the good fruit. So a good tree cannot, this is a good tree won't, it says a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. If you've been born again, taught of God, taught of the Spirit, you're going to bring, you might slip here and there, but you're going to go back and correct your slip. If you find out, well, what I used to believe ain't right, you're going to go to as many people as you told that to and say, wait a minute, I know I told you this, but I have found out from study that that was not the truth. And I want to get you straight. I want you to go through life saying, well, Brother Charlie said, if I ever find anything I've said here wasn't the truth, I'm going to come before you and say, look, I messed up. I told you something that was not right. Forgive me. Let me tell you what I did find out was right, so you don't have no blank space there. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. In other words, there's going to be a whole bunch of trees one day. False teachers, false prophets is where we're at with this thing, who has put out a lot of lies, who have deceived a lot of people, and they're going to be hewn down, cast into the fire. It says, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord. You know, you think, well, Lord, didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I heal people? Didn't I do all these fancy things? And you look at these people on TV, they're casting out devils all the time. I understand there's a verse that says, and Jesus said himself, does the devil cast out the devil? No, but the devil can sure make it look like he did. They may not have cast out this devil, but they sure made it look like they did. Can the devil deceive you by looking like he's a preacher of the righteousness? Can he look like light? Can he act like light and still be the devil himself? I mean, I got Corinthians on if you want to go there. We got another hour or two. I can go there with you. But it says, everyone that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, just because you realize who he is at that time, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. What is the will of heaven? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, and be saved. That's the will. Any other way to believe and repent. Believe and repent. You got to have it. You can't do the will of the Father lest you have it. He says, many will say to me in that day. He didn't say a few. He didn't say some. He said many. That sounds like a lot more than a few. Many will say in me that day. So if you'll turn on your TV, that guy's a liar. That guy's a liar. Now, they might be a truthful one here and there. I don't see many Sovereign Grace Baptist teachers, preachers on TV. I mean, if you can get me a spot, I'll be glad to go there, but I don't see us on there. But you got all them other guys who say, believe and be saved and do good works. A little ad. I'll be glad to go on TV if you get me a spot. I don't know if we can keep it lined up, but we'll go. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. They actually thought they were saved. They actually thought they ought to be in heaven because of what they were doing. They actually thought they were good enough because of what they did to be there. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not preach? Did we not teach? And wasn't your name brought up over and over and over again? Yeah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, he's the Savior. But you must do it yourself. You must work. You must please him. You must do things that he might would want to save you. Didn't we prophesy in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. Man, we've even threw devils out. Man, we was for Jesus. Right? We even threw out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Man, you'll be glad to have me up here. I'm just so special. Lord, you understand? I did all this in your name and proved all this stuff in your name. I made you look good in front of them other people. I ought not read this next verse again. It's the saddest verse that you could come to, almost. And then, not later, but then. And then will I profess unto them. Face to face. I'm looking at your good works. I'm looking at what you say you've done. I'm going to profess unto them. Who are you? What'd you say? What did you do for me? I never knew you. In other words, you never had any authority to do anything in my name. You never did anything in my name. You used my name. You trampled on my name. You did false teaching in my name, but I never knew you. I don't want to get to heaven and find out he never knew me. I don't want to think that I've done all this stuff trying to impress everybody that he might like me later, because that won't work. If I ain't saved right now, and if I don't get saved before I die, I will not be saved. And if I am a false prophet, one day if I stand before Jesus Christ, he will say, I never knew you. He will say, oh, but you were so fabulous. That's not what he's going to say. He didn't say that. He said, wow, you threw out a bunch of demons. Okay. Wow, you prophesied in my name. Wow. Jesus is not going to do that. He's going to say, I never knew you, nor the works you did, nor the things you claimed that happened in my name. I never knew you. Ye worker of iniquity. Wow. I thought I was doing things for you, Lord. I figured that when I did these things that you'd see that the good stuff coming out of this stuff. That you would look at me and say, yeah, I know you don't believe in Jesus, but because you have prophesied in my name, because you've cast out demons in my name, well, just come on in, thy what? Worker of iniquity. No, that's not a well done, good and faithful servant. It's a you worker of iniquity. You see, would it not be good to preach in Jesus' name? Sure. Would it not be good to cast out devils? Sure. Would it not be good to do the good? But the thing is, you must be covered by the blood. You must be born again. You must be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You will never stand in front of God outside of that and say, wow, look at me. And if you are in Jesus Christ, you won't say, wow, look at me neither. You're going to be up there saying, Lord, it's all you. It's all you. I know you put me in the ministry, but it was all you. I know you give me a place to teach, but it's all you. Lord, you give me this thing to do, but it's all you. It's not me. If I get in front of Jesus, I'm going to be at the feet of Jesus saying, Lord, it's you. It's you. I was the one in need. I was the one that needed it. You worker of iniquity. Therefore, and this, I'm going to go quick on this last part. Not that I need to be quick, but Jesus was really plain here. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. In other words, if you hear what he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, do everything in the honor of God, do everything in the right thing, and doeth them, I will liken to him, unto a wise man who hath built his house on a rock. In other words, the rock being Jesus Christ. If you're doing the things of God, and you're building on this, there may be wood, hay, stubble, but there's also going to be gold and silver and precious things. We don't all get everything perfect. There may be some wood and hay in all of our piles. But that's going to get burnt off. And what's going to be left is going to be the good stuff. The gold and the silver and the precious stuff. He says, and doeth these things, and liken a man on the soil, and the rain, it may beat on you. It may knock the paint off you. And they sin, and the floods may come and run your floorboards a little bit. And the wind may blow and throw some of the shingles off a little bit. And beat upon the house, and it fell not. The house stood. It may have took some wear, it may have took some tear, it may have got battered a little bit, but the house did not fall. The man who built on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. Doeth them not. In other words, you heard all the truth. You heard what you need to do. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fall on the rock. Lest the rock fall on you, shall be likened to a foolish man. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house in the sand. If you've ever built anything in the sand, it sort of shifts and moves and twists when things happen. He built himself on the sand, and if you know anything about structures, when they twist, they're coming down. He says, on the sand, and the rains descended. That's going to wash some of that sand away. Rocks don't wash away, but sand washes away. And it, and the winds blew, and it shifted and twisted, and it beat upon the house, and it fell. Good foundation, Jesus Christ. Sand, anything the world has to throw at you, no good. And great was the fall. Not only did the house get destroyed, but the owners and everybody that was in that house, when it fell, collapsed on top of them. They were all destroyed. They perished. It says, and it came to pass, Jesus ended these sayings, and the people were astonished at his doctrine. He didn't have many. That was one story. You say, he jumped all over the place. Yeah, he did. But everything pointed to building your house on the firm foundation. Every part of it said, love your neighbor as yourself. Every part of it says, if you're going to judge all these, remember you have a judge up there that's going to see what you've done to them, and he's going to bring it to you. You remember Samson? What was his problem? He had an eye problem. What happened to him at the end? The Philistines poked his eyes out. Every way we want to do things, remember, we have a judge who knows how to bring us back into the place where we need to be. And the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now, I might have to talk to Lucian later about doctrine and doctrines, because we got a few verses we might have a problem with, but on the most case, there's only one doctrine of Jesus Christ. The baptism, the blood, everything is all wrapped into one doctrine. False prophets like to take that one doctrine and mix it up with all kind of other things. For he taught them as one having authority. Don't think about what I just told you. You think about this came straight from Jesus Christ. This came straight from where God had wrote it and placed it by the Holy Spirit into this book. This said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and live, believe not and perish. Oh, that you would believe. Oh, that we'd all be born again in the body of Christ. So if God has talked to you, if God has dealt with you, at the invitation, not that you get saved by coming to see me, but if God has saved you, just let us know. Just let us know. And we'll be glad to rejoice and be glad in it. Brother Keith.